There is an endless net of threads throughout the universe. At every crossing of the threads, there is an individual, and every individual is a crystal bead. And every crystal bead reflects not only the light from every other crystal in the net, but also every other reflection throughout the entire universe. And this week's opening quote comes from Anne Adams. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, it's true that everything in the universe is connected. It is an endless net of threads throughout the entirety of this reality. It's just that the threads are energetic threads. And at every place these energies cross, there is indeed another individual or another event or another object or another impulse. And I include objects and impulses in there because I believe that it is indeed an energetic universe. I think that everything within reality is made of energy. I believe that the energy itself is conscious. I think that is where consciousness comes from. That is the mind of God, if you will. And I believe that all is connected. And it's this connection which is so important. And that is why such an incredible effort seems to have been undertaken by those who control this system to remove from us any knowledge of this connection, the concept that all is one. Many people will say this is New Age rubbish, this is designed to distract you and to lead you away from yourself. But really, if you understand the concept of an energetic universe, then all is connected, all is indeed one, indeed it has to be. That's the only way reality can really function. Because this energy permeates everything. Everything comes from the same energy. And though we may not be a single individual, perhaps saying the concept that we are all each other, although that's debatable as well, but we are all connected and we are all one because we all come from the same energetic field. And this energetic field makes up not only us who display consciousness, but all of reality. It makes up all the trees, all the oceans, all the rocks and stones, everything that we perceive to be dead, lifeless matter. It's also made of this same conscious energy, because this conscious energy is the stuff of the universe. It's the stuff of all creation. Okay, so why am I going through all this? What does this have to do with the global situation? Well, I believe it has a lot to do with it, because it's this understanding of reality which helps you deal with the global situation. You know, when you understand what you are and you understand how reality works and you understand that it is an energetic universe, then you realize that energy is also displayed as emotion. And the energetic state that you're in and how you interact with the universe, how you interact with the people around you, means everything. And one of the big problems of our society, what has caused this situation to occur, is the fear energy that we are all kept in. You know, people are constantly in a state of fear. Just everything about this society is designed to generate this in people, whether they're worried about their bills or worried about whether someone's coming to get them, whether the New World Order's coming, or whether they're simply worried about what their kids are doing, or even worried about what they look like. There's always some worry. There's some fear that things may get worse at any moment. And, of course, everything about our society and, of course, our news media promotes this fear all the time with people, letting us know that it's getting worse, we have to tighten our belts, austerity's coming, maybe a war around the corner, Ebola sweeping across the planet, ISIS are coming to get you, the Muslim menace is going to take over the world, Fukushima is irradiating the planet, there's sunspots coming that are going to bring solar flares, deepwater horizon oil spill is going to destroy the oceans, there may be comets on the way, global warming is coming to destroy us all, the whole planet's going to heat up, we're all going to die, peak oil's coming, we're going to have no fuel, all the fish stocks are dying, the bees are falling out of the air, the birds are falling out of the air, there's a hole in the ozone layer, World War III's on the way, the Russian menace is coming to bomb us all out of existence, and there may be an alien invasion or a zombie apocalypse right around the corner. But never mind, because at 7 o'clock, the X Factor is on TV, and our boys in the military are going to make everything good, and all you really need to know is that your government is here to protect you. So you get out there and work hard, and if you're stressed, the best thing you can do is go shopping, folks. Just go shopping. That helps everything. Well, that's what they tell us anyway. in times of great tragedy and huge moral crisis and absolute global upheaval, go shopping. Yes, that will solve everything. I can see why they would want us to do that. The scary part is that there are actually so many people who actually do this. That is the freaky part. But I think I've gone somewhat off topic with this discussion. So back to what I was talking about with the nature of energy and the nature of the universe and why it is important to understand that it is an energetic universe and to understand how important a role emotions play in reality. Because the way you interact with people around you and the way you interact with reality and the energetic state that you're in, the emotional state that you're in, makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference to your intentions, whether you know it or not. And it makes a huge difference to the outcome of any situation. And one of the big problems that we've had is that we're kept in a state of fear and frustration and basically in impotence. We feel like we can't do anything. We feel like we are absolutely powerless against this system. And it causes all sorts of negative energies to generate within us, which basically is what makes us powerless. And I believe this is because we don't truly realize who and what we are. We don't truly realize what the universe is and how we are connected to all that is. And I think if we have that basic knowledge, which doesn't mean we're off on some airy-fairy New Age idea, it just means we understand a little bit more about how reality works and how to interact with reality. And I believe that if we could all do this, it would be a huge benefit in making a difference to what's going on this planet, because it would change the way we apply ourselves to the world. It would change the way we apply ourselves to other people and the way we interact with other people. It'll change the way we interact with this system, because it changes the way you view the system. It changes the way you view the politicians. It changes the way you view figures of authority, just by simply understanding that it's all about energy. And for more on this, there's actually a show that I did way back in 2009. I think I repeated it again in the beginning of this year, and it's called The Energetic Universe. I suggest you look through the Crow House radio archives for earlier in 2014 and you'll find, or maybe late 2013, you'll find this show, The Energetic Universe. We're actually going to quite an in-depth conversation about the nature of reality. And this sort of an understanding has really helped me in the way I deal with things. And that's what I'm talking about now, just in the hope that it will help you as well. Because I know things can get a little frustrating. They certainly do for me. I was a little frustrated with last week's show. Just seeing G20 happening here in this country, seeing how much the country was locked down. I mean, and we're not even a threat, but it shows how much these people are worried that they're going to get shot. It shows how criminal they are and how much they know they are criminals, that they are so terrified that someone will take a pot shot at them, because the whole world knows they're criminals as well. And the fact that they locked the city down so much and to such a degree shows how terrified these people are of the general public. And that in itself speaks volumes. And so that got me a little frustrated last week, but it is important, I believe, for people to understand how reality works and understand that it is an energetic universe, understand the energetic state that they're in, because when you can understand this, it makes it possible for you to stand up. It gives you the strength you need to be able to stand up and have a voice. And that's really what we need at the moment, folks. So we need a lot of strong voices and a lot of determined people to stand up and call a spade a spade. You know, I really believe that if people can empower themselves with true knowledge of their humanity, then they can realize that the people that are carrying out all of these crimes against humanity on the planet, all the things that our governments are doing, we begin to see the humanity in them as well. We realize that they're just people and they're criminals. They're doing the wrong thing, folks. I mean, why do we have to struggle for everything? Why do we have to struggle and litigate and start petitions and start public actions and all the things we do just to have clean air and clean water and clean food? Why do we have to struggle and litigate and undertake public actions and marches and protests just to get something new done in our community? Why do we have to put up with every single piece of legislation these criminals and governments put in place which put us in hardship? Why do we just take this? They're just people. They're just human beings. And not only are they just human beings, they're actually people that we employ as public servants. And yet all these people do is steal from us, commit crimes, and reduce the world to the state that we now see before us today. You know, and we undertake all sorts of legal actions and vote people in and vote people out and do all sorts of stuff which is completely meaningless. Why don't we just call a spade and stand up and say, hey, you guys are criminals. Exhibit A, the earth. You've done all of this. All the legislation you've put in place, which has allowed this corporate rape of this planet, has allowed all of this homelessness and starvation and human degradation to occur. It's all because of legislation you guys have put in place. We don't need any of this legislation. And as far as international law goes, we only need one. All war is illegal. And anyone who instigates a war of aggression goes straight to jail. Simple as that. That's the only international law that we need. You know, I really believe that if humankind woke up to the potential of themselves and woke up to their own humanity and woke up to the fact that we're just all people on this planet playing a game together and we don't have to play by anybody's rules, especially if those rules are bad, if we could just wake up to ourselves, we could change the world in a day. But we can't do it by constraining ourselves within the parameters that have been written for us by the criminals who are currently doing all the damage on the planet. We've got to step above this, folks, and realize what's going on here. We're being scammed. We're being played like a fiddle. And if we can realize that this is an energetic universe and we can change our perspective and change the way we interact with each other enough to have united communities, and we can stand up and fix the whole thing. And the fact that I can see this and the fact that I know how easy it would be, well, this is what gets me so frustrated on these shows. And this is why I repeat myself so much on these shows, because when I look at the direction the world is going, and I see how simple the solution could be, well, I just can't help but get a little frustrated. And actually, something else I'd like to address here as well, just because of some of the feedback I've been getting, is what I've been saying about the strength of an empowered community, how we need to build community, and that is the way we're going to address this problem. Now, you notice when I say that, I'm saying it as a singular form. When I say we need to build community, what do you think I'm saying? I'm not saying we need to go and build alternate communities. I'm saying we need to build community. We need to build common unity in this community that we have. I'm completely against going and building alternate communities, because I believe by doing so, you're isolating yourself from the larger community, and we don't want to isolate ourselves because they'll just leave you alone and they'll come and pick you off later. We need to fix this community that we live in now. When I tell people you need to build community, what I'm saying is you need to get to know your neighbours, get to know the people in your local area, in your local community, and start some rapport with these people. Start operating in respect with these people. Because if you have a strong local community, then there's nothing the public trustees can do. You know, if you've got one town that was, I don't know, how big, whatever, 5,000 people, 10,000 people, 20,000 people, but if you got one local community that all understood themselves and understood how reality works and actually respected themselves and operated in integrity in all that they do, then there's nothing any local council could do to hold that community back. And any legislation that local council tried to put in, the community would just stomp it out, because they respect each other and they stand united for a better future. And if everybody adopts this attitude within their own community, and then you extrapolate that out to include an entire city and then an entire state and then an entire country, then what can the government do? If the people of the country, if the people of our society, of our community, actually know who and what they are and stand in integrity, then when the government chooses to introduce corrupt legislation, there's absolutely nowhere for them to go. And not only that, but they expose themselves by doing so. And if the community is empowered enough, then these people would be instantly removed from office. And that's what we need. You see, we just have to readjust our perspective. And we need to rediscover and remember who and what we are. You see, our problem is that we live in divided communities. We live in a divided social system. It's a social system which has been designed specifically to divide us, and that's a huge clue. This is something that I've been saying for 6 or 7 years on these radio shows here. The divided structure of this community, the fact that we measure ourselves and we measure other people by their social or economic standing, is the problem. And I believe we do this because we don't truly understand ourselves, which is why in many of my talks, and I think on some of the shows I've done as well, I've gone to so much length to explain the nature of reality, what your body is and where your consciousness comes from. And this is just stuff that's come to me in meditation. This is stuff that's come to me from experiences that I've had. And when I've applied these understandings to the world, I've been able to change my life. I've been able to change the way I interact with the world and thereby change my life. So that's why I share the information with people so much, and in the hope that it will help them understand the beauty of themselves, and in the hope that that knowledge will cause them to respect themselves. Because when you do understand yourself, you do respect yourself. You stop judging yourself by external parameters, and you do actually respect yourself. And when you really understand how it works, then you respect other people by default. And if we can get to that point where we're actually operating in respect and operating in integrity with all that we do, not working to profit from each other, because life isn't about that. That's another piece of training we've had. We've been trained to believe that we have to profit from each other. Time is money. It's all about money. Money and economics is what runs this world. That's what runs our brains to a large degree, unfortunately. And that's really disconnected us from who and what we are. But anyway, that's what I'm saying when I say you've got to build community. You've got to put strength back in the community in which you live, folks. You don't need to go and build alternate communities. If you're going to build an alternate community, do it in this community so it ripples out to the greater community at large. Don't build an alternate community that's going to isolate yourself from this community, because if you do so, you're just part of the problem. You're isolating yourself and you're not looking at what actually created the need for you to build that alternate community. It's because this one is going downhill very fast. It's heading straight for a cliff, and it's taking the whole world with it. But that's the issue. It's taking the whole world with it. So if you go and build your alternate community and you isolate yourself from this one, you're just allowing it to continue careening towards the cliff. And don't think that you're not still connected to it, and don't think it's not going to drag you off with it, because it will. Simply because you turned away from it and you've begun to ignore it, you fail to give it your attention. And we need to give the problems in this world our attention, because by doing so we can heal them. It's just that we look at these problems and we think that they're too insurmountable for us to fix. Well, I don't think they are. I think that everything we face can be fixed. I think that's what a lot of these problems are. They're opportunities for us to pay attention. That's what's going on in Gaza. It's an opportunity for the world to pay attention to what's happening to the human race. I mean, sure, we've got a lot of problems. We've got problems every direction in which you look. And personally, I believe all of these things provide us with opportunities. And we have an opportunity here, folks, because never before in history has the workings of the mechanism been laid so bare. We now have a golden opportunity to rediscover ourselves and to choose to step into our own power. And all we have to do, really, to make a difference is to respect each other. That's the key. And that's what I mean when I say we need to build community. When I say that, folks, it's always singular. It's never plural. I'm never suggesting that anyone build alternate communities, because they won't make any difference at all. Ultimately, building alternate communities is counterproductive. It just separates you from the problems that you need to be giving your attention to, because were we to all turn and face these issues, we could heal the world in a single day. And I really have an enormous amount of faith in the human race, and I have an enormous amount of faith in our ability to be able to do this if we would just stop and pay attention. And that's why I do these shows, and that's why I continue to do these shows. And Lord knows, I've tried every angle, I've tried every approach. I've come on here and I've been calm and eloquent, and I've spoken with New Age lingo and spiritual lingo in the hope that it would reach those people. I've come on here and I've been angry. I've attacked the world leaders. I've insulted people in the hope that I would reach the more angry and more indignant crowd and maybe get them to view things from a slightly more spiritual perspective. I've come on here, I've expressed anger, I've expressed frustration, I've expressed joy, I've expressed positivity, I've expressed confidence, I've expressed fear. I've tried every single approach that I can think of in the hope that I will reach another person with that show, in the hope that more of consciousness will jump on board. Because people look at things from different angles, but I don't know which angles to try from here on, folks. All I can really do is offer my perspective to the world and hope that it makes a difference. Hope that there's something in these shows that you can take on board and use in your own life, something that will help make a difference in your life. Because if you make a difference in your life, you change your own backyard, change your perspective on how you operate and how you interact with people, then it creates ripples. I mean, it has in my life. The people that I have attracted around me in my life, I've really got some wonderful people around me in my life. And I believe that this is simply because of the way I treat people and the attitude that I have towards people. You tend to attract the right people into your life. Sometimes they're not people that you always agree with, but if you're astute, you can turn these differences of perspective into some very healthy debates that can be quite educational. And I've done that with a lot of people as well. I certainly don't agree with a lot of the people that I know, and they certainly don't agree with me. But we love and respect each other nonetheless, and that is what makes the difference. And it's not hard to do, folks, and I think it's important that we do have this respect for each other, because this will counter everything. It will. A united and respectful community can stand against anything the system brings against us. And the system really is bringing everything it can against us. There's a new project you might have noticed called the Counter-Extremism Project. This is an online initiative designed to counter online extremism. And who are they considering extremists? Well, of course, it's conspiracy theorists. Anybody who may suspect that the 7/7 bombings were staged, or that Israel had a hand in the 9/11 attacks. Anybody who may question the government line, they are trying to lump these people into the same basket as actual extremists, people from ISIS, people who go and blow other people up. They're saying that people who are leaving our countries and going to join ISIS, and they keep telling us that all these people are doing so, but I don't know how they would possibly have these figures or be able to prove that they are, but they're saying that these people from Western countries who are going to join ISIS are doing so because of ideologies that have been promoted to them by online extremists who actually pretend to be preaching peace, but who are actually presenting a warped world view, because it is a world view that does not support the official line. So this is how they're doing it, folks. They're tying people such as myself, people who present an alternative view of reality, people who question authority, people who question government criminality and the war crimes of Israel. They are lumping all of these people in with the so-called Islamic extremists who are now terrorizing across the Middle East. Of course, these so-called Islamic extremists are anything but Islamic, because they are not following any religious guidelines at all. So they're not any type of religious extremists. They're just extremists that are very likely financed and run by the West in order to bring about a desired result, such as the balkanization of the Arab world and the vilifying of the truth movement at the same time. So that's what we're seeing as an online response to the truth movement. We've also seen David Cameron recently announce that people who question the government line and people who question 7/7 bombings and people who suggest that Israel may have had a hand in 9/11 are as dangerous as ISIS or ISIL. So they're setting it up there as well. And there's also been a new resolution introduced in the United States, HR 707, which condemns all forms of anti-Semitism and rejects attempts to justify anti-Jewish hatred or violent attacks as an acceptable expression of disapproval or frustration over political events in the Middle East or elsewhere. So they're also now suggesting that anybody who expresses disapproval or frustration over Israel's actions in the Middle East is anti-Semitic. And not only that, but also through the wording, they are also lumping these people in the same basket as people who commit violent acts. And they're bringing in a resolution to back it up. So you can see they're attempting to attack the alternate media right across the board and lump them into the same category as ISIS or ISIL. It was also David Cameron who said it is online preachers who are pretending to be peaceful who are recruiting members of these countries to go and join ISIL, and they're also suggesting that people who question their government in their own countries are attempting to undermine the government of their own countries and carry out violent attacks against their own governments. So you can see how they're spinning things, folks. Of course, it's all complete propaganda and it's very far from the truth, but this is what they are presenting. And you can see this is what a lot of ISIL was all about, because they started associating Western people with ISIL very, very quickly. This Jihadi Jack or Jihadi John, whatever his name is, the MI5, MI6 agent who put out the videos of the fake beheadings. This was done just to associate ISIL with Western extremists or Western activists, people who question the government in their own countries. And you could see as soon as the Jihadi Jack videos came out that this was where it was going to go. They were going to use the event in an attempt to associate the truth movement with a so-called Islamic extremist movement. And this is exactly the way our governments and especially the media have spun things. Of course, the seeds for this vilifying of the truth movement were planted back in the Sandy Hook hoax. You could see in Sandy Hook how they're associating the shooter with the truth movement and beginning to plant that seed in the minds of the public. And we've seen this again with other shootings and other events, and now it's been brought to its conclusion with this latest ISIL and Jihadi Jack hoax. I tell you, folks, you've got to give them 10 points for predictability anyway. You can usually tell what these people are going to do well before the fact. The problem is that there just isn't enough people who are paying attention to these little details, which is why they get away with so many things that they do get away with. Yeah, so just the fact that our governments are attempting to vilify the truth movement so much, and we're seeing things such as HR 707 come into being, in which they associate anybody who expresses frustration at Israel over its war crimes in Gaza with people who carry out violent attacks, shows just how scared they are of the truth movement and shows how much of a difference we are actually making. But it also shows how much they are willing to push things, folks. It shows that they are most definitely coming for the people who are speaking out against them. Simply by associating people who speak out against their own government and accusing these people as recruiting for ISIS shows just how much of an extreme they are willing to push things to and how much of an extreme view they are willing to push on the public. And of course, while doing so, claiming that those who question the government are actually the extremists. And people really need to look at ISIS and ask themselves some of the right questions. I mean, look at these people, folks. They're all driving brand new Toyota Hiluxes. I mean, I think you actually have to purchase them somewhere and someone has to ship them to you. They're all wearing brand new Nike boots, beautiful white sneakers on these terrorists. And I heard on the radio today when I was driving the car that the State Department has figured out that ISIS is bringing in around $1 million a day in oil revenue. So the question is, why haven't they cut off this revenue flow? Why are people selling them these new Toyota Hiluxes? Why are they being supplied with nice new running shoes? Why are their oil transactions allowed to go ahead? I mean, all oil transactions are done in US dollars. It's the IMF and World Bank who actually controls global oil prices. So why hasn't ISIS's revenue stream been stopped? I mean, if you do something wrong, folks, if you even stop paying your taxes, the first thing the government does is freeze your bank account. Why haven't they done it to ISIS? I mean, they say ISIS is actually gaining ground on the stock market. How can you possibly have a terrorist organization gaining ground on the stock market if there aren't people in very high places pulling the strings? Come on, folks, ask yourself the right questions. I mean, you've got this so-called terror group rampaging across the Middle East, very, very well-funded, supplied with brand-new weapons, brand-new vehicles, brand-new clothing. Out there in the desert, slaughtering everybody they come across, doesn't matter, they just kill everybody. And that's what they're doing, folks. They're going into every country they can and slaughtering everybody that they can. Doesn't matter whether it's Christian, Muslim, Shiite, Sunni, doesn't matter. They're killing everybody and slaughtering everybody. Everybody except the people in Israel, of course. They don't seem to be going into Israel at all, except, of course, for medical attention. There are records and documentation proving that ISIL fighters have been receiving medical attention from Israel in the Golan Heights. In fact, Israel has even been covering the expenses of this medical attention. So that seems to be really the only time they go into Israel. But they're rampaging everywhere else around Israel, and all the while, of course, paving the way for Western intervention and bombing campaigns to be carried out all throughout the Middle East. So really, folks, you've got to step back and say, qui bono, who benefits from the actions of ISIS? And who benefits is the United States and those who support the Greater Israel Project. That is who benefits from the actions of ISIS or ISIL or ICE or whatever you want to call them. Whatever their name is this week, I prefer to call them Blackwater, Mossad or Z. The thing is, folks, we can look at this situation in the Middle East and we can wonder what to do about it. We can look at the situation in Palestine and Gaza and wonder what to do about it. It's the same as the situation in the Amazon. I did want to start a project whereby we could buy large sections of Amazon and thereby protect them, but I began to realize that it's really not about that. The situation that we see in all of these countries, the situation in the Middle East, the situation in the Amazon, the situation in Palestine, all of these can be alleviated by us cleaning up our own backyard, because it's the lack of attention we've been paying to our own governments which is causing these problems to continue. You see, all of these problems, all of the governments that are doing these problems, all of the governments that are carrying out this destruction, the government in Peru that's carrying out the destruction of the Amazon, and it's not just in Peru, it's in Brazil, it's all over the place. The atrocities that are happening in Palestine, the lack of rights and the brutality that these people are subject to. Again, this is all financed by Western governments to support the actions of Israel. All of these problems are exacerbated by the lack of attention that we give our own governments. And this is exacerbated by the fact that we live in divided societies. So that's where the focus has to be. You know, we have to clean up our own backyards, folks. We have to rein our own governments back under control, because it's by doing that that we can actually make a difference to Gaza. We can make a difference in Palestine. We can make a difference in the Amazon. We can make a difference in Ukraine. We can make a difference everywhere if we choose to stand in our own power and rein our own governments back under control. That's what will clean up the global situation, folks. We can't look at it and see these things as being separate from each other. And there's no good going to the place where a problem is occurring and attempting to put a band-aid on it. We really need to look for the root cause of the problem. And the root cause of all of the problems that we face are always economic. They all have their basis in economics, folks. Even the destruction of the Amazon has its basis in economics. Economics, the concept of ownership, the artificial scarcity that we're all placed in, even the wars and the possession of other people's countries, folks, it's the concept of possession, the concept that you can own part of the earth. Again, it's all economically based. The mere concept of ownership, the fraud of ownership, is economically motivated in itself. And look, in all of the things that I've been saying here to you, all the times that I've said we need to rein our governments back under control, you've got to understand that I'm not calling for revolution here. What I'm calling for is accountability. Because that's the issue, folks. We've got governments who have removed themselves of accountability. Even here in Australia recently, we had Tony Abbott outlaw whistleblowing. And if you outlaw whistleblowing, what you're doing is you're banning government accountability. And the only reason a government would do this is because the government is running scared. This is what I'm saying. And I firmly believe that if we were to change our own moral compasses, if we were to break down the barriers in our societies and start operating according to moral parameters rather than legal parameters, then we wouldn't even have to construct a new system. This system that we have now would reshape itself around our new found awareness and our new consciousness because it would be forced to do so. Now, this system forces us to operate within parameters which are immoral and which serve to trash the environment and discard humanity along the way. And we operate according to these parameters because we are trained to. We're trained that we must always obey the rules regardless of whether we believe it is right or wrong. We have to step above that and we have to put morals back into the equation. And we have to ensure that we're not doing things that we know are wrong regardless of what the rules say. That simple readjustment of perspective would make all the difference, folks. And you could argue and say, well, you can't go against the rules. If you go against the rules, everything breaks down. We need to have a chain of command. We need to have a hierarchy. Rubbish. If rules are there which cause hardship for people and difficulty for people and which trash the environment simply in order to support an economic model, then we need to break these rules by default and we need to re-examine the validity of them. We need to look at who put these rules in place and why. Because you'll find that such rules have been put in place in order to support the economic model at the expense of life. And that is not acceptable. You know, the only reason we do accept it is because we have this perspective that's been instilled into us, and this is why we need to readjust our perspective. And rediscover who and what we are. Put a little bit of value on life. And I think life is far more valuable than economics. And of course, we're told that it is, and we act in many ways in our lives as though it is, but when it comes down to the economic model, we stop short and we go back to supporting that system, usually at the expense of something else, namely life. And we see this everywhere. We see this in almost every aspect of our society. One good example, of course, is the coal seam gas industry, the fracking industry. Now, there is a great example of the sacrifice of life in order to support an economic model. Because the coal seam gas industry, its main side effect is the destruction of groundwater. And fresh water is the most valuable resource that exists anywhere on the face of the earth. Simply because water gives life, and without water there can be no life. It doesn't matter what they say is valuable, usually it's only valuable according to the economic model. But it's not something that gives life. Bauxite may be valuable, but it doesn't give life. You don't need bauxite in order to be alive. You don't need to harvest diamonds and gold and silver from the earth in order to be alive. These things have no inherent value. They only have the value that we give them. What is really and truly valuable on this planet is clean water, clean air, fertile land, and an abundance and great diversity of nature. That is what is valuable. And everything about this system is designed to trash all of that in order to support these numbers on the screen. And the problem is that we just go along with it all, folks. I mean, let's face it, this economic system is killing mankind and it's destroying this planet's ability to support life. And we allow it to happen because we insist on going by the rules that these sociopaths and psychopaths have put in place in order to support this system. And I think we need to wake up to ourselves, folks, because we're being destroyed, we're being killed, we're being murdered, we're being exterminated. It's happening very slowly, and so we're going, oh, well, we better not rock the boat. We allow our governments to put poison in our food and poison in our water, and we say, oh, well, it's only a little bit of poison. We allow them to vaccinate our children with a ridiculous amount of vaccines, which compromises their immune system from a very early age and locks them into this big pharma model where they're all buying drugs off pharmaceutical companies for the rest of their lives. We allow Monsanto to genetically modify our environment simply because governments write rules on pieces of paper which allow it to happen. And we know all this is happening, and we don't do anything about it, and it's time we did. It's time we stood up and made a difference and called a spade, and called for some accountability from our public trustees, folks. We don't need revolution. We just need conscious behaviour from the global population. We need people to step into themselves and readjust their moral compass and start doing the right thing and demand some accountability from the global oligarchy that has caused all of these problems to come about. And don't believe them when they say it's mankind that's caused all the problems, folks. The people of our societies have been forced to operate according to parameters that have been put in place by politicians, and that's where the problem lies. The problem lies with what the politicians have done and who the politicians work for, because they don't work for the people. They work for banking cartels, and that is very obvious simply by an examination and evaluation of the actions of these people. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And also seeing the signs of how much of a difference it's making. Like I said, this attack that we're seeing now against the truth movement, folks, this is being done specifically to try to scare people into submission, to scare people into silence, by suggesting to people that if they speak out against the government, we're going to come for you, you're going to be arrested, we're going to accuse you of supporting ISIS and ISIL and all of these groups that they've made up themselves anyway. I mean, it shows that they're running scared, folks, but what it shows more importantly than anything is that the wheels are falling off the system. They've tried everything they can in the last 12 months to ramp things up, this whole Ebola scare, shooting down planes, war posturing against Russia, ISIS, ISIL, the brutal attacks against Gaza Strip, fake school shootings such as Sandy Hook, the fake shooting we just saw in the Canadian Parliament, where they're showing you 9 bullet holes in the wall, which are 9 holes that have been in the wall for months or years. They're trying everything they can, folks. They're attacking us from all angles, and because they are so scared and they're bringing in so much propaganda, they're tripping up and they're making mistakes left, right and centre, and they're exposing themselves to the world. So don't be intimidated by these people. Don't be quiet. Don't go quietly and put your head down. Don't back down to these people, folks, because now more than ever we need the world to stand up and pay attention. And the beauty of it is, folks, that in order to combat this system, all you really need to do is to stand in integrity, to stand tall with a strong moral compass and ask the right questions in a public enough manner. And you're going to find that people around you start listening to what you say. You're going to start to find that the penny drops in a lot of people. Because if you can phrase things in the right way and just call a spade and be brutally honest in what you say, forget the political correctness, just be honest and speak the truth, then you're going to find that the government, the oligarchy that controls this planet, has nowhere to go. They have nowhere to go in the face of truth. They have nowhere to go in the face of integrity. And that's really all you need to do in order to combat this system. Because if you have a strong moral compass and you're acting according to moral parameters in all that you do, then you can't help but rub this system the wrong way, because that's the last thing this system wants, is for people to do the right thing. It wants people to obey its rules, but it doesn't want people with strong moral compasses to always be following those compasses and to be doing the right thing in all that they do and operating in integrity in all that they do. That is the last thing that this system wants. So if you do that, you will find that you rub the system the wrong way and it comes for you. But because you're standing in integrity and you have morality on your side, it makes a difference, because it offers an example to the people around you and stands as testimony to the corruption of government. That's the thing, you see. Government hates it when you have the moral high ground, because it doesn't like to expose itself on moral issues, which is what happens. And that's why if you do have a moral issue and you are operating in integrity and you have the moral high ground, it's great to make it as public as possible and to push the envelope as far as you can, because it exposes government and it forces them to tread very, very delicately. And in doing so, they usually slip up and expose themselves a little bit more to the general public, and that's what we want. So it's good to take advantage of such situations, and you can create all sorts of situations that do work to your advantage by simply always operating in integrity and having a strong moral compass in all that you do, by following moral guidelines rather than legal guidelines. You'll find that you're always stepping on government's toes, but there's very little they can do about it, simply because every action they take serves to expose them just a little bit more. And eventually they come up with some compromise, which demonstrates very aptly to the general public that these people in government really don't give a damn, and that all they're ever really prepared to offer is a little token effort in order to appease the non-corporate people. But like I said, folks, the wheels are falling off and the oligarchy is running scared, and it's becoming very, very obvious that they are, simply by the way they've been ramping things up around the planet. So, in the face of all this, folks, the time has come for mankind to step up to the plate. The time has come for mankind to stand up and be counted and to call a spade a spade. You know, we can rein our governments in, we can fix this global situation. And more people are becoming aware of the fact that we can fix things every day. More and more people are becoming aware of the global situation. They're beginning to realize that there's something terribly wrong. But at the same time, many people are beginning to see that the solution lies with the people themselves. And we have non-violent solutions available to us. It just means that we have to participate. We have to be prepared to be honest with ourselves and be honest with the people around us and be honest with our government. You know, the world's in a mess and we cannot allow it to continue in the direction that it's going. And we can't expect our governments to fix it for us, because it's the governments who have created the situation to begin with. And that is the sad truth of the matter, folks. These people have created this situation, whether it's been done on purpose, whether there is a controlling hand that is guiding us towards an inevitable conclusion, or whether these people are simply falling over themselves and clutching at straws, and we've just got the Keystone Cops running the world and they're all trying whatever harebrained scheme they can come up with to improve things. Unfortunately, all based on the economic model, because they're all trained to believe that that's what it's all about. I mean, maybe it's just been one big mistake, but whatever it is that's brought us to this point, it's no good arguing and debating about the finer points of how we got here. What we need to do is recognize that we have a situation. We have a clear and present situation. Humankind is facing a clear and present danger, and the danger they are facing is their own apathy, their own lack of attention that they're paying to the world in which they live, the lack of attention that they're paying to their environment, the lack of attention that they're paying to those people whom we employ to manage the infrastructure of our societies. That's the problem, folks, and we need to stand up and pay attention to it. And there's no good worrying about what rules these people have written down, because if you look at the global situation, folks, you look at the environmental situation that we're facing, you look at everything that we're facing, and seriously, if you think that we can't fix this because we're constrained by rules that the people who created the problem wrote down, then, I mean, you've got rocks in your head. There's no way we should be allowing ourselves to be constrained by rules when we're facing a life or death situation. It's like, you know, you're there falling off the cliff and no one's saving you because there's a rule that they're not allowed to touch the rope. You know, there's a story, actually, a traditional story that comes from Thailand. And it's a true story. It actually occurred. There's actually a monument in this place, at this waterfall, to commemorate this event. And this story should serve as a lesson for everybody. But there was a princess who was taken to a beautiful waterfall. She was a beautiful princess, and she had a group of maids and servants in attendance. But she fell into the waterfall, and she wasn't able to swim. And she was calling for help and motioning for help, but none of her servants or retainers were able to help her, because it was against the law to touch the princess. And so the princess drowned, and there is now an archway that's been erected at the waterfall to commemorate her death. And that story in itself shows exactly where law fails, and certainly where blind obedience to law fails miserably. You see, what mankind has to do is recognize the seriousness of our situation. Mankind needs to realize that we do have a situation, and they need to see the seriousness of it and not allow themselves to be constrained from any steps that need to be taken to fix this situation due to a blind obedience to law. Because very often the laws that have been put in place to constrain us from any action we may take to improve the lot of mankind have been written by the very perpetrators of the crimes against humanity that we see so rampant in the world today. You know, our politicians are supposed to be managing this planet with a degree of responsibility, and they're not showing themselves to be very responsible people. They're simply not. And all you have to do is glance around you at the state of the world to realize that we have a situation here, and it's time for the people of the world to take the matter in hand. But it's got to be done responsibly. We're not going to do it by creating organizations that rampage across the Middle East, shooting people. And this ISIS organization, folks, this is such a Western-run operation. I mean, sure, there's probably extremists and kids with chips on their shoulders that are going and joining, but it is such a Western-run operation. But we don't need anything like that. We don't need any civil war. We don't need any violence at all. All we need to do is to have empowered communities that are prepared to stand in integrity. You know, if we have a strong society here in our countries, if we have the respect of our neighbours and the respect of the people around us, then we can stand up and bring about any change we wish to bring about. That's where it has to start, folks. It's got to start with you cleaning up your backyard, breaking down the barriers with the people around you so that we can stand up as a strong community and say enough is enough. If we do that, we can take the world in whatever direction we choose to go. This is what I'm going to be pushing with the Full Circle Project next year as well, folks, when the project is launched early next year. That's what I'm putting my main focus on at the moment, is attempting to get this off the ground. I'm organizing speakers and workshops at the moment, and we're going to be launching that as soon as possible and really attempting to push the envelope in 2015. That has to be the year for change, folks. All it's going to take to bring it about is the participation of the people. But that is it for me, folks. We're now completely out of time. It's been a pleasure coming and speaking to you again today. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. Your help is the only thing that keeps the show on the air and keeps me functioning. So it is very much appreciated. But that is it for me now, folks. Remember to keep one eye on Gaza, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh.